puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time once again for Abandoned Manitoba here on the Weekend Morning Show, where we say good morning to Gordon Goldsborough from the Manitoba Historical Society. Hello, Gordon.
Good morning, Nolan.
Before we dive into this week's episode, I understand that you have an update from what we were discussing last week.
I do. So last week, we talked about where streets in Portage la Prairie got their names. One of the names for which we didn't have a good explanation is Kelly K, the letter K, Street. Well, turns out listener Richard Gray contacted me to say that the name commemorates a young boy who, in the spring of 1987, was playing with a friend in a water-filled ditch on the east side of the city. Well, it's a bit of a tragedy. The boys were swept into the water and they drowned. And according to Richard, they were commemorated by these Kelly K Street and Keith Street, apparently the name of the other boy. But there's still a few unknowns to the story. For example, I couldn't find any newspaper article that talked about the drownings. And I kind of find that curious because, you know, it seems like it would be a newsworthy event.
Certainly.
Two boys die. But nothing I could find. I was also not able to determine what the K stands for. I'm presuming that it's his surname, but again, no, nothing. And supposedly the other boy named Keith was the basis for Keith Street, but Portage historian Les Green, who is encyclopedic in his knowledge, he told me that Keith Street derives from the name of a fellow who owns a trailer park on the east side of Portage, so I think I'm just going to have to keep digging on the basis of, you know, what I've learned so far.
So we'll keep on waiting for an update on that story. But today, Gordon, I understand we're journeying down the number one highway from Portage all the way to Brandon. And we are staying, I understand, with street names.
That's right. And, you know, like the streets in Winnipeg and in Portage la Prairie, I have to say the documentation is poor. You know, the cities just don't seem to think it's important to keep track of why their streets are named the way they are. And so Brandon is, well, just as bad. And there is a situation that I think is actually quite analogous to the recently renamed Bishop Grandin Boulevard here in Winnipeg.
Recently renamed to the Abenoji Mikina in the south side of Winnipeg. So what is this case that's similar to the Abenoji Mikina in Brandon?
Well, one of Brandon's main thoroughfares is Rosser Avenue, and it's named for a fellow named Thomas Lafayette Rosser. In the early 1880s, Rosser was chief engineer for the Canadian Pacific Railway. And of course, at that time, in the early 1880s, they were expanding across Manitoba. And in 1881, Rosser chose the site for Brandon. He selected its name, and he arranged for a survey of its first streets. However, if you go back 20 years earlier, 1861, Rosser was a military officer in the American Civil War. He fought on the side of the Confederacy.
Oh.
And therefore, presumably, supported the enslavement of blacks. Yet, despite this dark past, Rosser is commemorated by, well, the village of Rosser, the rural municipality of Rosser, and there's a Rosser Avenue in Selkirk, in addition to the one in Brandon. Now, undoubtedly, Rosser played a key role in the establishment of Brandon. But is that enough to forget about his service with the Confederacy? You know, I think it's a question worth considering.
That is certainly something worth considering. It'll be interesting to see if what becomes of that in the next couple of years. You said last week also that Winnipeg and Portage not only replaced street names with more culturally inclusive names, but also with numbered streets. Of course, Brandon has numbered streets today. Were they always this way when the streets were first being surveyed, or were they changed at some point?
Yeah, well, it's a good question because, of course, Winnipeg briefly adopted numbered streets before it reverted back to names. But Brandon, well, it has always had numbers. But it's a little bit curious because the streets, meaning the ones that run north-south, they've been numbered, but the avenues that run east-west, they've been named. And that's been the case basically since day one. But it only applies to the oldest part of Brandon, sort of the central core, because if you get out to the outlying areas, they're all named. So it's kind of an interesting sort of amalgam of systems in Brandon.
I understand there are several other streets in Brandon that also have connections to the railway.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, of course, Brandon is a product of the railway. So we have Stickney, which is named for a fellow named Alpheus Stickney. He was the superintendent of construction for the Canadian Pacific at the time that Brandon was founded. We have Van Horn, which is for William Van Horn. He was the general manager for the CPR. And in fact, just a little interesting tidbit, in early 1882, barely a year after Brandon was founded, Van Horn fired Thomas Rosser. And apparently, what I've heard is that they had a heated argument at the Manitoba Club here in Winnipeg, in which pistols were drawn. So I was like, wow. Well, I guess maybe, you know, being a Confederate general, you know, his idea of the way you settle things was with the, you know, with...
Sure.
So, wow.
Never think that conflict's going to come north of the border, though, hey?
Well, you wonder.
Wow.
But so continuing, but we have Hill in Brandon. That's one's named for a Canadian who ended up being a major American railway entrepreneur, James J. Hill. And we have Pacific Avenue, which is, of course, the Pacific Ocean being the endpoint for the Canadian Pacific. So there's a few places around Brandon that preserve that sort of railway history.
So I'm sensing a bit of a theme with railway streets in Brandon. And actually, last week you talked about themes for the way that streets are named in Portage. I'm guessing, Gordon, that there is more than just the railway theme for street names present in Brandon.
That's right. Yeah, there's a lot of streets that are named for people. So, for example, we have Aberdeen that is named for the Marquess of Aberdeen. He was Canada's Governor General in the 1890s. And that we have three parallel streets, Lorne, Louise, and Victoria, running east-west, that are named respectively for the Marquess of Lorne. He also was a Governor General of Canada in the 1870s, early 1880s, when Brandon was founded. His wife, Louise, for which Louise Avenue is named, was a daughter of Queen Victoria, which, of course, is the basis for Victoria Avenue. So three streets, all with a royal connection.
Hmm.
Another major theme in Brandon seems to be former mayors. No fewer than 12 streets in Brandon are named for them. So we have Cater, named for Harry Cater, Clement for Stephen Clement, Creighton for James Creighton, Daly for Thomas Daly, E. Fotheringham for Edward Fotheringham, Fraser for Alexander Fraser, Kelly, Andrew Kelly. Well, there's a long list
on
of them
on
here.
On and on it goes.
On and on it goes. So, you know, but whereas mayors get a lot of love in Brandon street names, other members of the municipal government, rarely used. So to my knowledge, there are just three of them. There's Hanbury, probably named for a city councillor named John Hanbury, Kirkcaldy, another city councillor, James Kirkcaldy, and Sykes, which is, I think, named for a longtime municipal employee named George Sykes. But even rarer than municipal officials are streets named for federal or provincial politicians. And I can think of just one of those.
Very interesting. I wonder if we're going to get a Crest Street named for the most recent former mayor of Brandon in the next couple of years. Okay, you mentioned the provincial or federal politicians rarely getting streets named after in Brandon. Which one would that be?
That would be Sifton, probably named for Clifford Sifton. He represented Brandon in the provincial legislature in the 1880s, 1990s. He was a member of parliament from the 1890s to 1911. He has a national reputation, and I think this is a result of him having made a major contribution to steering Canadian immigration policy in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, during which numerous people came to Manitoba from around the world, and especially from Eastern Europe, places like Ukraine. On the other hand, there are a couple of Brandon names, Patmore and Whitehead, that remind us of people who have made more local contributions through the 20th century. So Patmore reminds us of horticulturalist Henry Patmore. He planted trees along many of Brandon's boulevards, and many of them, of course, are fine, majestic trees today. Meanwhile, Whitehead probably commemorates publisher Joseph Whitehead. He ran the Brandon Sun from 1911 to his death in 1941. But I'm not sure, because it might be named for his son, Ernest Whitehead. He published a paper until his death in 1961. Or it might have been his son, Lewis Whitehead, who was publisher until 1987. So Whitehead, named for probably one of the Whiteheads, just not sure which one.
But does honor the legacy of the longtime publishing family of the Brandon Sun. There were some curiosities among the ported streets that you discussed last week. I'm wondering if there's anything like that that you found when looking at the names of Brandon streets.
Oh, yeah. So one of my favorites, for example, is Berriger, and it was originally named in 1939. It was actually a renamed section of First Street North near what was at that time known as the Manitoba Hospital for Mental Diseases, located on the North Hill. It was named in honor of the hospital's administrator, Dr. Charles Berriger, but apparently the paperwork was never formalized, and therefore the name never was applied. I guess it was local, maybe, but it lapsed finally in the 1970s. Another curiosity that I find fun is College Avenue, and I assume that it was named for Brandon College, or today's Brandon University, but as far as I know, the college was never located on College Avenue, so that seems a little odd. But my absolute favorite street names in Brandon derive from its nickname as the Wheat City. If you go to the southwest area of Brandon, you'll find several streets that are named for varieties of wheat. So we have Durham Drive, Fife Bay, Garnet Place, Marquis Drive, and Prelude Bay, all types of wheat.
That is quite a remarkable thing to have your streets named after. I love that. You said earlier that the documentation for the basis of Brandon street names is poor. I find it hard to believe, given your prowess at discovering these things, that this was a challenge for you. But the way that you just sighed seems to indicate that it was. So what are a few of the questions that you still have unanswered around Brandon street names and maybe how the names come about?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a lot of times it appears that they were named for a person. And I thought, well, that should be easy to find. You know, if there's a noteworthy person with that surname, you know, I can find them pretty easily. But, you know, I've been unsuccessful. You know, I'm hoping that maybe some of our Brandon listeners can contribute here and tell me, for example, Agard Avenue. I was told that it was named for a prominent restaurant proprietor, but I couldn't find one with that name. Or Clark Drive, historian Martin Kavanaugh said it was named for a Democratic leader. Pretty vague. But he didn't say which one, which Democratic leader. Clark? Well, Lee Clark, maybe. But I'm thinking that's more recent, so I'm not sure that's the case. But then there's a whole host of other ones. So Elvis Crescent, not for the named for the king, by the way. Elvis with two S's.
Oh.
And there was a developer in Brandon named Elvis, and I'm thinking that might be the case, but I could find nothing that said there was a street named because of that. Grant Boulevard, Harrison Avenue, McTavish Avenue, McVicker Crescent, Noonan Drive, Parker Boulevard, Patterson Crescent, Pilling Drive, Richmond Avenue, Swanson Avenue, Willier Drive, Winston Bay, Woodsley Bay. I'm sure they're all commemorating Brandonites, and it would be really nice to be able to say, yes, this street is named for so-and-so, and this is what they did, and this is why we want to remember them. But the documentation just isn't there.
I often wonder, with that Elvis with two S's, Elvis Crescent, I often wonder how often there's just like a typo or a mess up in the bureaucracy that says this is what we're naming the street, and everybody goes okay, and we're just going to put up the sign and we're not even going to think to question it.
Well, it's possible.
Which would be frustrating, because then there's no explanation, a really good explanation for why it is the way it is. And hopefully listeners in Brandon will be able to help us out, like our friend Richard Gray did for Portage La Prairie. Very interesting stuff, Gordon. What are we going to be discussing next week? Are we continuing on in this journey of named streets?
No, we are not. I'm going to have to do some more research, and so it's going to take a little time. Maybe we'll come back to look at streets in other towns. So if listeners do have some ideas about, you know, other towns that we should maybe talk about the names of streets, by all means, weigh in. But for next week, we're going to go and consider a remarkable set of maps. I love maps, and this particular set show the neighborhood around a large abandoned building near the corner of Portage and Main here in Winnipeg, and what the streetscape there looked like over a century ago. These maps are wonderful, and I'm going to talk about them next week.
Very excited to hear about that. Thanks again, Gordon, for coming in, and we will talk to you next Sunday.
Sounds good. See you then.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.